How wonderful it's been to be with the Lamb today. I thank God that as a lion, he's triumphed over our enemies, but I thank God as a lamb, he's come and met with us here in his kingdom, and that we have sat down in green pastures, and that we have been led beside still waters, and that he has comforted our soul and revived our hearts. Lord willing, this evening, we're going to ask Elder Jerry Anstey to come forth first. Programmed to say he's from California. He's not from California anymore. He's from Colorado now. I'm so thankful that he and Sister Cheryl are here and have him come first. And he's going to be followed by Elder Chris Krause, pastor of Little Union Church down in Lithia, Florida. I ask you to pray for both of these men. Pray that the Lord be with them in a very special way. He be with us as a waiting congregation. That whatever we need, that we have it ministered unto us, that we take him in, and that we would go on our way rejoicing, saying, surely, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. At this time, I'm going to ask Elder Ward Rao to come and word our prayer. You pray with Brother Ward. The Lord be with us going forward. Come in.
Gracious Almighty Lord, we cannot word of prayer adequately to thank thee for what we received, even just this day. Lord, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all the blessings thou hast given us. Thank you for thy Son, Jesus Christ, what he did for us, and the knowledge for what he did for us. We're thankful, Lord, to know those who have gone on in separation of death here. It's simply a short time before we will be with them. As we see so many over the years who've gone to be with thee, Lord, we wouldn't bring them back here, but we desire to taste and see what they see even now in soul and spirit because of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Let us, Lord, live our lives and act in a way that we would glorify thee. Bless us when we fail, Lord, through thy mercy. Bless these two men tonight to preach thy word. Bless us with one more miracle tonight as they preach the gospel to us. Yes, it's to glorify thee, Lord, but we need edification. We need to be lifted up in our lives. Oh, Heavenly Father, forgive us of our many sins. Please bless us to be better disciples, oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, gracious Lord, bless all those who are sick and suffering in any way. Oh, Heavenly Father, bless them with thy close presence. Bless this church. We're so thankful for the work that she has done to host this meeting for us. Oh, Heavenly Father, let it be to thy praise, honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and amen.
I was made to think as Brother Philip shared this news this evening that we're doing exactly what Brother David would want us to be doing hearing this news. Also, thought came across my mind Paul's words to the church in Thessalonica that we would sorrow not as others which have no hope. But we would not be ignorant. Aren't you thankful for the information that not only you have, but that you even received this weekend?
Amen.
The messages of hope, the messages of Christ. It's been a Christ-centered meeting, and I'm so thankful to be able to be here. I hope I'm as thankful when I'm done as I am right now. I need your prayers, and Brother Chris needs your prayers, and I consider it a real blessing and privilege to share this time with you, my dear friend. Indeed I do. You know, in considering coming to this meeting, oftentimes we don't know what the Lord would have us to look at, and you try to study, and a lot of times when you don't feel moved specifically, you still dig in, you try to study, and it all sounds good. And then when you think about trying to speak on it, Lord says, not now, not now. I have one thought. I have no idea tonight what the Lord might do with it. I pray whatever it is, increase that he gives, it be to his glory and to our edification. In 1 John chapter 4, there's a statement that the Apostle John makes. He does not make it in a vacuum. I think a lot of times we we look at Scripture, and what I mean when I say in a vacuum, I mean taking it and isolating it, void of context, and trying to understand it just where it sits. Now, a lot of times we'll take Scripture out of the Bible. That's wrong and dangerous. Leave it in the Bible where, right where it's at. But even when we do that, sometimes we don't consider the context. Sometimes there's an overarching context, and sometimes there's an immediate context. Sometimes it's, well, certainly there's both of those things. And I think that is in this statement that John makes. It's in the 18th verse of the fourth chapter. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I truly rejoice when the Bible is plain. I need it to be plain. There is no fear in love. Now, there's a lot of things that could be said about that statement, and perhaps the Lord will bless us to say some of those things, but whether I can expound upon it or not, the truth of the matter is, John is making an emphatic, factual statement that there is no fear in love. He goes further, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. It's an interesting word, torment. It speaks of a disquieting, and it's a painful experience. It's chastisement, and it's even punishment. Punishment. Brother Mike, in his preaching, made mention of the Battle of Armageddon, or Great White Throne Judgment. There's a lot of God's people that live their lives in fear, as though that is something that's going to happen some point in the future. I'm thankful to know this evening that we serve God from salvation, not for it.
Amen.
I'm thankful this evening to proclaim unto you, as it has been proclaimed since we have been here, it is finished.
Amen.
Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into this low ground of sin and sorrow. He condescended in a manner in which I'm convinced I don't understand fully. But the God of all grace, God manifest in the flesh, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He came here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. For He was made to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want to understand that one day. I'll tell you, that is such a beautiful picture that we have, that the Apostle Paul sets before us. John here is making a statement, and it is connected. And I think it was Brother Mark Rowell who said it. It doesn't matter who said it. It was said, and it was good, relative to the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. John, the Apostle John, in his gospel and here in his epistles, he elevates that principle, that truth, that present truth, over and over and over and over again. He shares the blessings of believing in the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. He also pronounces a qualification or an identification if you don't believe that. He calls it out plainly again. It's the Antichrist. It was present then. It's present now. The Antichrist is an it, not a he. It's not something that we look forward. We don't look forward, but that we might see at some point. That spirit exists today in the world. It existed then, and it exists today. It is a denial of the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, John says some things prior to this verse, and perhaps we'll spend a little bit of time looking at some of them, but he makes some self-evident statements of truth that are contained in this fourth chapter. The first thing that John says before we get to them is, beloved, believe not every spirit.
Right, right.
I would have us to know this evening, there is a lot of utterances and blowing out of air that's going on in the world today.
Yes.
And it is not ordained by God. It is not of God.
Right.
And we ought not to, as God's people who are established in what the Spirit of God truly says, the Spirit of truth, we ought not to be entangled with those things that we encounter or that encounter us in our lives. Listen to what John says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's important to understand, John is not saying, take everything that you see and lay it out there and then pick and choose. Try this and try that and try this. That's going on in the world today.
Right, right.
Try this and try that. No, John is saying there is only one right answer.
Amen.
Only one. And once you see it, embrace it for all it's worth.
Right.
And until you see it, keep looking for it.
Right.
Keep moving toward it. Because once you have it, you have something in your possession that will calm the troubled waters of your life.
Amen.
It will bless you with peace that is beyond our capability of truly understanding. And by the way, peace was talked about sometime this weekend. Peace is more than just the absence of conflict.
Amen. Amen.
Peace is absence of conflict. I'll grant you that. But I need more than that.
Amen.
I need the peace that passeth understanding.
Amen.
I need the peace of my Lord and Savior, of who hung on the cross of Calvary, and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He knew exactly what it was he was doing. It was hurtful. It was painful. It was despicable in every way. But he had peace in his heart because he had joy in his heart.
Amen.
Because he saw you. He saw every object of his love, and he could see the end of the matter while he was in the immediacy of the trouble. I'll tell you, when you look at the trials of our life, when we are blessed of the Lord to keep our eye fixed upon the imminent deliverance that is promised to us by the deliverer, the trial and the trouble and the tribulation seems to vanish away. You move through it because you're not looking down at it, you're looking beyond it.
Yeah.
To our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Try the spirits. Try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Again, when Scripture is plain, I love it. Hereby, know ye the Spirit of God. This is important. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That's it. I like an easy text. This is the single answer of the equation. This is the single spirit that we're to put on, if you will, in our lives. It is not something that we compare to other things. There is no comparison. No comparison to confessing. And you know, there's a salvation in that. In confessing. And look at the verb tense in this word. It's a present perfect verb. That means we have done it, we are doing it, we will continue to do it. This is not a one and done confession, if you will. This is a pattern of life. That Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh. We heard some things, in a number of sermons this weekend already, of the benefits of Christ coming in the flesh. There are a number of things we can look at, and we can list some of those things out and come to understand why it was so important that God was manifest in the flesh.
Yeah.
He was justified in the Spirit.
Yeah.
He was preached unto His people. And to understand this evening that we are in such a blessed condition. Through the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the name of Jesus Christ is high and lifted up in this place. And it has caused us not to just rejoice in a Savior's love. I trust it has lifted us. It has lifted us above the transitory things of life for a little while. It's not as hot right now as it was. We're blessed to rise above some things in our life when our mind is fixed upon the things of God. Try the spirits. You know, there are so many utterances that go on in the experience of our life today. One of the things I am so troubled about as I look at society, and I'm not going to bring it down with this. There's a solution to it, by the way. We'll certainly address that. People have come to the conclusion that not only do they have a voice, They're entitled to use it, and they're entitled to use it any way they want to, and say anything that they want to. And it doesn't matter who it hurts, who it harms. It doesn't matter how blasphemous it is about the name of Jesus Christ. Those things are not in the focal point of society today. And we're experiencing it. We're seeing it. And a lot of our young people, a lot of our older people are falling prey because they're out there testing and trying and looking and they're searching for something. I want you to understand through the Spirit of God, the indwelling of the Spirit of God, the evidences that we have in our lives is that God dwells in us. Amen. He has given us of His Spirit, of Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. This is an abiding thing that Amen. We have in our lives. And when we come together like we have here and we greet one another with a holy kiss, a kiss and an embrace, somebody said outside, I can't hug because I've been diagnosed with this, I'm recovering, but I really am regretting it because I love to hug, I'm a hugging person. I'm thankful the Primitive Baptists are hugging people. I truly am. And it doesn't matter what temperature it is, that we're a hugging people. That we would apprehend that. That has apprehended us.
Amen.
That we would understand that the arms of the Savior are around us. All that we would embrace Him and draw Him nigh unto us.
Amen.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. It was then, and it is now. And when you see it, when you sense it, when you hear a little bit of it, turn the other way. Move along. Don't mess with it. Don't try it. Don't try to even defend against it. Just move along in your life. He says, I love this. Ye are of God.
Amen.
Ye are of God. that causes my heart to rejoice. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Those that have come out into the world, the spirit of Antichrist, who deny the divinity and the deity, the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ, they deny that. They deny it in their word. They deny it in their walk, in their actions. They try to build religions around the falseness, if you will, the denial of the divinity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. That we would understand this evening that goes beyond just in the fullness of Christ Jesus dwelt the Godhead bodily, and the fact that He came as a man. That is certainly a simple example of the divinity and humanity of Christ. It goes much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
It is all the things that He said. It's all the things that He did. It's why He said them. It's why He did them. That He was never wrong, ever wrong. He always did the will of the Father. He always gave honor, praise, and glory unto the Father. What an example of that we have. And then He told the apostles, I believe it's in John chapter 15, His desire, and I'll quote just paraphrase this and not turn to it, but that His desire was that His joy would remain in them. That His joy would remain in them. Do you realize tonight, we heard it this weekend already, we are not servants. Christ does not call us servants. He calls us friends.
Yeah. Yeah, amen.
For a servant knoweth not what the master doeth.
Yeah. Right.
But a friend knoweth all things given to him of the Father. We have inside information.
Amen.
And you are legally able to use it.
Amen.
And I encourage you to use it.
Amen.
We have received information this weekend that I trust has lifted us up and that has come forward with a certain sound. It certainly has, sitting back there, and some of the songs that y'all have sung this weekend, a couple of which I have not heard before, but the words, oh my gosh, the words just ring out to the honor and the glory of God and the hope that abides within our breasts. What a precious place it is to be here this weekend. Ye are of God, listen to this. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How? Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Now, don't you love that?
I love it.
Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. That is not a message that the world will have anything to do with. there's such a rambling around and an attempt to try to elevate mankind to places that they had no business even attempting to arrive at. Trying to elevate self, and that's been our problem all along. Oh, but greater is He that is within you this evening than he that is in the world. You're more than conquerors to Him that loves you. What a blessing that is. And it should work a boldness in our lives. Not in our boldness, not in our self, but it should. And John's going to deal with that here in just a minute. And I'll deal with it momentarily and then move through this and get out of the way. He says in the sixth verse, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There's a couple of more spirits to consider. One, I don't want anything to do with. I'm wrong enough. I don't need any helping me be wrong. What I need is the spirit of truth. Turn with me to John chapter 14 very quickly. We'll look at a couple of places where Jesus himself says this very thing. I want to go to John 14, and let's start with verse 16. Let's get a couple of these. The words of the Savior. Understand the context. He's speaking to his apostles. They are nigh unto having to walk by faith. No longer are they going to be able to walk by sight. Christ is leaving their presence. They're nigh to having to walk by faith. Jesus knew exactly how difficult it was going to be for them. Exactly. And he encouraged them. And then he gave them some words of great encouragement. He says in the 16th verse, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Another comforter. "That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Mm-hmm. Yeah. That still abides today.
Yeah. Right.
Still today.
Today.
We have the Spirit of truth. That's why when you hear the truth, it sounds so good. Doesn't it? It resonates in your heart. When you hear error, what happens? It's a clang. It doesn't sound good. I know because I've uttered untruth and I heard it when I did it. And then I saw the countenance of the people that also heard it. And I said, "Whoa, we got to fix this." We have the Spirit of truth abiding with us. John 15 and 26. The words of the Savior again with this. He says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit," capital S, Spirit of truth, "which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." The Spirit of truth testifies of everything that Jesus said, everything that he did, the things that Christ told the apostles. He told them specifically this was going to happen, so that when the Spirit of truth told them again, they would have recall. And that's why somebody said today how important it is to study our Bibles. I'm not sure, Brother Luke, about writing it. Amen. We need to study our Bibles for all we are worth. Plus a little bit more.
Amen.
There are riches untold in this book. We can study it every day of our lives, and we should. Nonstop, and we won't even scratch the surface, Brother Daniel. We don't want to scratch the surface, but I want to.
Right.
I want to know more. The more I do feel like I do know that the Lord's blessed me with, the more I realize I don't know.
Right.
"Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Now this is primarily written to the apostles, I understand that. But I would say this, that in the words of Christ in John chapter 17, the things that he prayed for the apostles, that by extension came through the apostles to the church today. We have them today. And we too should bear a faithful witness of the testimony of Jesus Christ. What a privilege that is. Some folks want to look at it and say, well, that's your duty. When you call it what you want, I think it a privilege. I think it a privilege to be able to bear a faithful witness of the mercy of God in my life. He's been so good to me. I cannot even number out the blessings that God has given unto me.
Amen.
Probably not even in the last week or so.
Right.
The blessing of this weekend. The things that you have seen and the things you felt, the things you have heard this weekend that have resonated and stirred your pure mind and your pure heart.
Right.
What a blessing that is. Every time that we're in the presence of the preaching of the gospel, you say, well, how do I know it's preaching? Well, it has nothing to do with how loud Brother Jerry is or how much he moves around or anything like that. If there's power behind the word that is spoken, it lands in your heart.
Yeah.
And it will stir you. It will cause you to want to be better after you heard it than you were before you heard it. Item by item. The power that comes from it. Now I get a little excited because the gospel is exciting. It really is. It is exciting. And I happen to show it a certain way, and if that's bothersome to me, forgive me. It's not my intent. John 16 and 13. How be it when, still Jesus, how be it when He, the Spirit of truth, telling us a little bit more about this Spirit of truth that John mentioned over in the epistle, is come, He will guide you into all truth. I tell you what, there's a lot of folks out in the world today who would like to guide you into their truth. And there is one truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life.
Yes.
We have one truth. Aren't you thankful for that? So the simplicity of the truth in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
The problem that we have is that we say, well, that's too simple.
Right.
I need to doctor this up a little bit, make this a little bit a little more complicated, because it's hard for me to celebrate my intellect if it's so simple. So we've identified the problem. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. I'll tell you, this weekend, that's happened. Has shown it unto us. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall shew it unto you. Every time we're in the presence of the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit is blessing, the Spirit of truth is sending that message out to your heart specifically, that the man that stands up here is nothing more than a vessel of God's mercy by which God feeds His people. So pay no glory unto the preacher. He's just the vessel. He's a vessel. And it's a blessing to be that vessel. I submit to you this evening, it doesn't matter what your business card says, you'll never arrive to a higher place in your life than to be a vessel of the mercy of God for the benefit of one of His people.
Right.
Even if it only happens one time.
Right.
What a blessing that is to think that God might use me or use you to lift someone. We're here tonight fresh off of the news of Brother David Guthrie passing. What a blessing. What a vessel of mercy. He was in his ministry, and the story that he told countless times, Brother Philip, about his experience and the faith of and I don't give glory to Brother David. I give glory to God because he gave glory to God. But he could do nothing else but to follow that testimony of the Spirit of truth and bear that faithful witness in his life. Oh, church, understand, we are so richly blessed to be able to commit our lives as a witness unto the mercy and the grace of God. I need to hasten with this to bring this to the context of the 18th verse that I started with. Self-evident truths. In this set one chapter, John tells us that our confessing that Jesus is the Christ proves our possession of the Spirit of God. It proves it. You can also go to Paul's writing over in 1 Corinthians where he speaks of it being impossible to say that Jesus is cursed if the Spirit of God is in you. He also says that you cannot confess that Jesus is the Christ, a void of the Spirit of God. who's in control. So we're not at liberty to just go about and say any old thing that we want to. And that's one of the problems that I think that's going on in society today. It has become so prevalent that people will just, they'll speak just so that they're heard. They love the sound of their voice. And they'll just speak so that they're heard, doesn't matter what they say.
Right.
Oh, we have a better thing to say than that.
Amen.
Our manifested love one to another. This is important. I want to get this. I'm going to read these verses to you. Because I think this is a principal point that John is making. This may be the second to last point I make, Brother Chris. So get ready. Let me just read it in verse 12. No, start in verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
Amen.
Yes. Christ is the sin offering.
Yes.
He is also the one who offered the sin offering.
Yeah.
He is the propitiation.
Right, right.
He is the expiation of the wrath
right.
of God
Amen.
Against
Amen.
His people
Amen.
In its entirety, without anything yet
yeah.
to be paid.
Amen.
We believe, we rejoice in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And so we should. Yeah. I will say this. That finished work propels our love.
Amen.
Toward Him, but our love also toward one another.
Right.
Beloved, if God, that's not an if of doubt, that is an if of reason. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another.
Amen.
You know, one of the sweetest blessings of this weekend. The preaching's been fabulous. The singing's been wonderful. The prayers have been spirit-filled. But to see the fellowship without dissimulation.
Yes.
Don't walk up on a conversation with this many people together and have people quiet down. They just embrace you and bring you in.
Yeah.
Even if you're from California or Colorado. The fellowship that we have. You know, that's driven by love.
Yeah,
selfless love.
Right, man.
Selfless love. All right, because he says, and this is interesting. I've got to make this point. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. It seems like an interesting place for John to say that. To me, anyway. Some of you elders think, well, no, it fits exactly like I could. maybe what I'll say will also agree with that. No man hath seen God at any time. You can go read in John chapter 1, verse 18, where seeing God is reserved to the only begotten. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Seeing God. Nevertheless, you can go to John chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. I'm not going to go there for time's sake. But you'll find over there that the apostles were saying unto the Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus responded, and only Jesus can, never a man spake like this man. Have I been so long with you, and yet you say, show us the Father?
Huh.
Jesus plainly said, if you've seen me,
you've seen
the Father.
Amen.
Paul says that he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person.
Right.
Why? That we might see him. That we might see him. He said, well, that was reserved for the apostles. You know, Jesus said to the apostles, you've seen me, and so you've seen the Father. Let's keep reading. No man has seen God at any time. Listen to what John says. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And his love is perfected in us.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
You want to see Jesus? Love one another.
Amen.
Amen. Love one another with a selfless love.
Yes.
Live your life loving one another.
Yes.
Bearing one another's burdens.
Yes.
Rejoicing with one another. Crying with one another. Embracing one another.
Yeah.
And that's how we see God.
Yeah, right.
That's how we see God. So what benefit is that? Look, John says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Our possession of the Spirit of God also proves the indwelling of God in us.
Amen.
Our confession proves the indwelling of God in us and the presence of the Spirit, because we can't do it any other way. And then in verses 14 and 15, John talks about our confession that Jesus is the Christ. It proves the possession of the Spirit, which in turn proves the indwelling of God in us. You cannot beat that.
Amen.
That abides within us. So what good is it? He said, well, it's got to be good, because it's God in us. Well, let's bring this to a close. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I love John chapter 17, the words of the Savior as he goes down through there. And he shows not only, he articulates not only the unity of the Godhead, but the oneness of the Godhead. That's two different things. The oneness. Oh, do we realize what we have inside, dwelling in? All right, listen to this. Herein is our love made perfect. That means complete. I like to look at it as completing a circuit, if you will. The love that we have comes from God.
Right.
If we just let it sit idly, we're not perfecting that love.
Right.
It's not as complete as it ought to be.
Right.
Is there anything lacking in the love that God... No. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God.
Right.
No, there's nothing lacking in that love. I love to consider love from the perspective of God to me.
Yes.
A lot of times I consider my love for God going that way, and it's tainted with sin all the time.
Right.
And it comes up lacking.
Right.
And I don't rejoice in the fullness of the love because I see my failures. Oh, but from time to time, John says in 1 John chapter 3, take a break from that and behold the love of God from God to you.
Yes.
Oh, what a joyous time that is.
Amen.
Here it is made perfect. When you rejoice in that, and you take that love and you actively live a life loving one another as Christ has loved you.
Right.
The example that Christ gave of his love toward his people, not just in the atoning sacrifice, but while he was even yet here in his ministry, even as he girded himself with a towel and washed the disciples' feet, as recorded in John chapter 13, he says, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you.
Right.
He had just finished washing their feet. I showed you how to love each other this way. Now I command you that you do the same thing. Do the same thing, because if you'll do that, that love becomes perfect. It's full circuit. It closes the circuit. You say, well, that's good. Feels good. But how else does that benefit? Well, here's my closing thought. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, qualitative standard, as he is, so are we. In this world, there is no fear in love. You know, we fear, our carnal nature fears that day of judgment. Regardless of how much we know about the finished work of Jesus Christ. You ever have doubts and fears in your life? I do. But I don't fear that day. They'll talk to people and they'll say, you primitive Baptists.
Amen.
Why do you talk so much about death and dying?
Yeah.
You sing about it, you talk about it, you preach about it. I say, because we're not afraid of it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
I'm not crazy about the whole dying part. But I don't fear death, and I don't fear the day of judgment. I'm going home. I'm going to see, I'm going to know as I am. I'm going to know him as he knows me.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have to dwell on that for a little while. We may have boldness. Boldness in the day of judgment. Last verse in this chapter. And you read through the rest of this. But John says, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. That is an authoritative prescription that God's given us. And a prescription is to take care of an ailment. You know what an ailment is? It's fear. It's fear. I don't fear the day of judgment because the judgment was meted out upon my Savior in my stead. I don't fear that. And I have a boldness when considering it. And I try to tell God's people they ought not to fear it either.
Right. Amen.
And John is saying, if you don't want to have that type of fear, if you want to have a single steady aim and a life filled with loving God's people and holding up the name of Jesus Christ with everything in you, selflessly love one another.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.